From the Gospel of John in chapter 14, beginning with verse 23, Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the words that you hear is not mine. The word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. The gospel writer John, in our text today, offers us, in the words of Jesus our Savior, an antidote, a comfort of two words that often grip us in life. Comfort for our fears and strength to be sustained in our troubles. Those are the words that John shares in verse 27, where he quotes Jesus saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." I don't know about you all, but when I think about the troubles that I face in life, sometimes those troubles are self-induced. They're a result, as my son Luke Hill and I get to have a talk about more often than I would rather that we did, that our choices have consequences. Sometimes we do things that after we've done it, we wish we hadn't have done, right? Some of the troubles are like those that my brother Mickey experienced. When he was a senior in high school, my parents had just built a brand new home, a lovely home up on the hill in Faulkner, and they were out of town. Mickey and I were staying at the home alone, and some of his good friends, you got to have good friends to do this, they rolled our yard. It was around Halloween, and so aggressively, they didn't just stop there. They really wanted to decorate everything nicely. They put lawnmowers and bicycles on top of the house. They put a few trash cans up there. They really fixed it up nicely. And Mickey came in, and oh, he exploded. He was so angry, and he slammed the back door open near the garage and went in the house. And then after he cooled down a minute after slamming the back door open on this brand new home that wasn't quite finished, Mickey called the home builder, our friend Butch Roberts, and said, "Butch, could you possibly fix a hole in the sheetrock of our house?" And Butch said, "Well, I don't know, Mickey. How big of a hole is it?" He said, "It's about the size of a doorknob." It wasn't about the size, it was exactly the size, wasn't it? He found trouble because he responded in his own anger. And sometimes, I don't know about y'all, but I can make sense of those troubles. Those troubles that we bring upon ourselves. But oftentimes, and sometimes, we feel as though maybe even we're under attack with the trouble of the world. Or the attacks of those who we thought we're friends. And suddenly we wonder, and we're bewildered by their actions. Why is this trouble come upon me? Isn't it good to know? Isn't it good to know that we have a God who is not only our Savior, the giver of life eternal through the grace and love of laying down His life that we may have it. But our God wants to embrace us in the here and now, in the trouble that we face. Friends, I find that to be good news. He doesn't say, and this is what's wonderful, He doesn't say, I only embrace you for the troubles that you didn't deserve. No, our God sustains us even in those self-induced troubles. That is a good God. He also says, do not fear. That's something we know about in life as well, isn't it? Don't we find ourselves oftentimes, though, as we analyze our fear, worrying about things that never come to pass? Isn't that usually what fear is? Because if you think about it, once we're under attack, we're no longer fearful. Then we're in survival mode, right? But fear is usually what comes before the troubles, the challenges that we face. Fears can be all around. Fear of abandonment. Fear of neglect. Fear of not being loved. Our God comes to us, dear friends, in our fears. Throughout Scripture, haven't we all heard those wonderful passages where our Lord appears, or an angel of our Lord appears, and the very first statement is this: do not fear. I am here with you, our God says, to conquer and overcome our fears. You know, I think about the fear I was discussing with my dad this morning as we drove down for worship, about my uncle Larry Wilbanks. And Larry was a bit of a knucklehead when he was a young person. And I remember that my mama loved to tell the story, a sweet, dear Southern Baptist lady that was one of the founding members of West Ripley Baptist Church. But she had a mean side. She was sneaky and she loved to pull a joke on somebody. And Larry had walked to the grocery store, and he didn't get back when he was supposed to, and he was late. And my mama, and she got her daughter Darlene to dress up with big coats and hats, and they started walking toward town. And as they were walking toward town, Larry was coming up the other side. They crossed over with their big coats and hats on. As they got on Larry's side of the road, he crossed over to the other side. They walked just a little further, and then they crossed back on Larry's side. And this went on several minutes, and as they got closer and closer, Larry had stood it as long as he could take, and he threw up all the groceries and ran in the other direction. He was afraid. He was fearful. Fear has a way of making us respond in ways that are not rational. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes the troubles and attacks that we feel from others, maybe they're fearful. Maybe there's something missing in their journey. We need to consider that the emotions that God engulf us with, church, are not trouble. They're not attacks. They're not fear. When we find those emotions coming at us from the world around us, that is not of God. May we surrender that to God and find what our Scripture says today is the peace that our Lord offers. You see, that's the beauty also in our text today. Because as we are engulfed at times with fears and troubles, our Lord says that I offer you this, the peace of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about that? What is peace? What does it mean to have the peace of God's Spirit in our life? Isn't it easier sometimes to tell what something isn't instead of what it is? Maybe it's hard for us to describe exactly what peace is, but we know what it is when we don't have it, right? Perhaps these two words that we've spoken of this morning are a great example of peace. Peace is the absence of trouble. Peace is the absence of fear. And peace, dear church, comes from our Lord above. Put your hope in Him, not just eternal. Yes, we embrace life to come through our Lord, but embrace Him in your daily journey and find the peace that surpasses understanding in the words of Paul the Apostle. The peace that comes only from God. Our scripture says this about the Holy Spirit. In verse 26, Jesus said, "I'll leave you an advocate." You know I like that word. An advocate. If you look up the word advocate in the dictionary, it'll tell you it's one willing to take a stand for you. One to publicly profess in front of the world around that, hey, I'm for him. I stand up for her. I'm their advocate. During this election season, you have those people who support the candidate of their choice. They're willing to say, I believe in their path for our community. They are advocates for their platform, for their personhood, for their character. They're willing to say, I believe in their leadership. Wow. Isn't it beautiful that our Lord today said the Holy Spirit, God Almighty claims you as worthy of being an advocate for. God fights for us. God claims us. He's not embarrassed. He's willing to put our name on His chest and say, this one, dear world, is mine. That's the gift of our Lord for us in our trouble. In our fears, He advocates for us. Also in the scripture today, in verse 26, not only do we hear that the Holy Spirit is our advocate, but the scripture tells us that the Spirit will teach us and remind us everything that Jesus has given to us and taught us and nurtured us for our journey. So the Holy Spirit is with us even now to remind us, to sustain us, and to teach us of the love of our Lord. Friends, that's the gift that God offers to us. In our life, in our journey, in our brokenness, in our fears, in our troubles, there is comfort of God Almighty through the love and presence of His Holy Spirit. So how does the Holy Spirit embrace us? How does this work? How do we as people of Christ trust in the peace of God when we're engulfed with troubles, in fears, or attacks of the world? Or maybe we're living with our own consequences and we just need some sense of deliverance and strength during our life filled with peril. How do we call on the Spirit? Jesus says in our text, in verse 23, our very first verse today, here's what He said. Let's receive it again. He said, those who love me will keep my word, and those who love me, the Father will love them and will come to them and make their home with them. God will make a home with us. God will make a home in our heart. God, the Holy Spirit, comes not just to dwell outside of the world around us, but inside of us, to sustain us. And how do we invite God more fully into our life? How do we embrace more intimately the peace of the Holy Spirit? Jesus said we simply love. We love the Lord. And we love the world around us that He's entrusted us to. You see, this passage of Scripture, remember with me, We're staying on this passage of John that began in John 13. You remember, I've been on this for several weeks, this beginning of the Last Supper, where Jesus is approaching the cross of Calvary and his final instruction to his disciples in these four chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. That may even be more than four. That's a bunch of them. Jesus is saying throughout this passage, love. Love is at the heart of the gospel. Love is my call upon you. Love is the prescription, he says in our scripture today, to invite the presence of the Spirit more fully in your life. You see, I think it's like this. I've said to you before that our God is holy and gracious. We know that. That God's love for us is not dependent upon our love for Him. That the gift eternal is indeed that. It is a gift. There's nothing we do to earn the gift of life in our Lord. But friends, God's divine embrace of us daily, it's impacted by our love. There are consequences. If we love the Lord, He's going to dwell with us in the here and now, not just eternally. You know, our God is a gentleman. He doesn't go where He's not invited. If we choose to turn from God and walk away from His love, He won't force His love and His presence upon us. But when we embrace more fully our commitment to love our Lord and to love His people, our scripture says this. What happens? That's where He's going to make His home. We made a welcome mat for our God. He's going to be where there is love. And if we are committed to love those outside of these walls, outside of our family, and yes, even our family, if we're committed to love the other, we are making a home for the Holy Spirit to dwell with us and offer us His peace. It all works together. So I celebrate today that when we make a home for God, I was walking this week in my neighborhood, and we spoke of Miss Geneva earlier and her nephew Clyde, who lives in our neighborhood. He has a mailbox and he has a newspaper section, but he doesn't get the newspaper. And you know what he's put in the newspaper section instead? He's got two bricks in there. Some of you will know why he put those bricks in there. He's trying to keep the birds away. Because the birds in our neighborhood claim that newspaper section as a home. You know what he's done by putting up that blockade? He's told them they're not invited here. This is not a home for you. You see, when we walk away from God's love, we put up a blockade for His peace. God will not force His presence into our life. But friends, if we will just embrace fresh and new a commitment to love our Lord and love the world around us, the bricks and passage are removed and God will come in and dwell and strengthen us and the world around us through His love. You see, the good news of the gospel today is this. The gift of the Holy Spirit is eager to embrace us in our journey. And whether we love, it makes a difference in our daily journey. There are consequences. But friends, the consequences to heaven are contingent in no way upon what we do. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus ended this passage today by saying this in verse 29. I've told you these things. I've called you to love. So yes, you'll know more peace now. But most of all, I've called you to this so that you will believe. And believe what? That's all we do. To know life eternal and the gift of heaven. There's nothing we do but claim what God has done for us. It's His gift of love that advocates for us and says, Norris is mine. I'm going to promote him. Kenny is one that I claim. Mike and Shirley and Ann, they are my children, not because of what they've done, but because of what I've done for them. Love, peace, joy, the gift of our Lord, eternally and now, through His grace. Amen.